Log Talk Radio.
Good evening to each and every one of you. You are now listening to the Monday Night Avon Motivational Radio Show. And each week, we invite various guests to come onto the show to help you as an Avon representative take your Avon business to the next level. It doesn't matter if you have been an Avon representative for a day or not. This show is designed to help you as an Avon representative take your business to the next level. If you have not done so already, I am going to ask you to please, like us on Facebook. Our Facebook page is Avon Motivational Radio Show. And I'm also going to ask you to please share this information not only with the members of your team, but people in your upline and downline as well. Today, if you've been listening to the show, you know that this is the day that we have a roundtable discussion, which includes Ellen Edwards, who is an Avon representative, as well as Gillian Clark, who is also an Avon representative. So let me see who's on the line so I can plug them in. I haven't seen them. They have not popped yet. I don't see anybody yet on. So I'm going to actually start. Today's show is going to talk about organizing your calendar for the year 2017. I like to be proactive. And one of the things that I've been doing Avon for, I think I'm in my seventh or eighth year doing Avon. And if you've been listening to the show, you know I am really big on going to the dollar store and buying items for my table to make my table look very nice. So, for example, you know, it's Valentine's month, February, so I would have items on my table that reflect Valentine's Day. Next month, which is St. Patrick's Day, I will have items on my table that will have St. Patrick's Day items. And I finally got smart because, you know, every year I'm buying little stuff to put on the table. And so at the end of last year, I put them in different bags. So I have a Valentine's Day bag, I have a St. Patrick's Day bag, I have a Christmas bag, and in those bags are only the items I need for that particular season or holiday to put on my table. Ellen, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, I was just saying, I know you heard, but, you know, I was saying how I finally got smart and started to put all my holiday items in bags. So I have, you know,
right.
Breast cancer bags. Yeah, it's like a no-brainer. So when it's time to run out, because I'm always rushing to go to an event, I just grab the Valentine's Day bag. And in that bag has everything I need.
Absolutely.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You thought to say something?
Let me see, what was I getting ready to say? Well, it keeps you organized, and it also, you have less stress because you don't have to run around at the last minute, where is this, where is that? And that way, you know, if you have a last minute show to do, you don't have to worry. Bag to go, so it'll make it a lot easier over the long term.
And you know, one of the things, Ellen, that I'm really big on, I have a Gmail account, and I can't speak for other services like AOL or Yahoo or whatever, but I know that when I go on the computer and put things in my Gmail on my Gmail calendar, those items or those dates pop up on my phone, so I can access my calendar anywhere. And I would strongly suggest you know, as we do in business and trying to grow our business, that we all should look at having some kind of calendar where we can have, so that we can access it from anywhere that you are, whether you're on your home computer, whether you're on your job computer, or whether you're on your tablet or your laptop or your phone. But you should have access to your calendar 24/7. Ellen, what are you using for a calendar?
My calendar is in my phone, so I don't really use – I have a Gmail account, but I don't really use that calendar because it's too many. I have a work calendar on my phone, and then I have my Avon or my other businesses on the phone. So what happens is everything is synced together so I know what I'm doing at any given time. So I don't like looking on multiple calendars. I think it gets very confusing. Or those people that aren't really using a calendar or they're using a written calendar, and if you lose it or misplace it or whatever. So I prefer the calendar on my phone, and I've been doing that for years, and it works very well for me. And also, too, if I have an important appointment, I don't know, it's going to ring on the phone. You can set it up how far in advance to alert you that something's coming up. So I would automatically get 15 minutes ahead of time something saying, okay, you have a reminder, you have a meeting coming up. You can do it a day in advance. There's a lot of things you can do on the phone. So depending on how far you work out, I know my calendar is into the summer now. So it works well.
I use the Google Calendar, and on that calendar I put everything. I put my work. I put my business appointments, I put my social appointments, everything's on that one calendar. And the two things I like about the Google Calendar is that, three things. One, because it pops up on every device that I have. That's number one. But number two, and like you said, it gives the alarm, it alerts me when I have to go to appointment. But also another thing that I like about it is that I can invite people. So if you and I, Ellen, have an appointment, I can confirm it by sending you the invite of the email of the calendar date, which all you have to do is just click on it, and it should pop up into your calendar if you have the calendars that are listed, whether it's Outlook, or you have Gmail calendar. But the other thing that I had discovered, I have on my GPS that I use, which I love, is Waze, W-A-Z-E. And what will happen, Waze will recognize the calendar item that's on my phone, and it will tell me, like, say, for example, it's going to take me an hour to get to an event. It will tell me that I should be leaving the house now. So the Waze will even tell me, according to the travel and traffic or whatever, this is the time you should be leaving your house. So that's one of the things, the reason why I like the Google Calendar. But
that's good. And then also, to people, can you hear me?
I guess.
For people who have smartphones, Androids, iPhones, or whatever. You can send people appointments. So, for instance, if you have an appointment, you can share that appointment, and it'll pop up on that person's calendar. They can accept it if they want, and it'll be on their calendar. So people who use calendars, sometimes I don't think they realize that they can actually share appointments through the phone. So that's another thing.
Absolutely.
That you can do.
And the other thing you could do I'm talking from my experience with Google, you can color code things.
So
I do multiple things. You know, I have a facial business, so maybe I put all my facial business in pink, and maybe I'll put my Avon things on the calendar in green. So you can color code. So you can look by the color and see what it is that you have to do on that given day, which is also excellent. So
yeah, I do that on.
Said, you do that with
I'm
what?
I'm sorry. I'm getting a lag. Sorry about that. I do the same thing on my phone. I color code my appointment, if I'm looking, something's hot pink, I know what that relates to, or turquoise or whatever. So, or even with my work calendar and my my business calendar, they're in different colors, so I can immediately see which appointments or which colors relate to what. So that's another way to help organize yourself.
Excellent, excellent. So, you know, with that being said, and, you know, we have determined that, you know, you got to have a calendar. I mean, you can't do, in this day and age, you really can't do anything without a calendar. I don't care if you don't even have a job, you have to have a calendar. So there's things you have to do. So the first order of business for everybody who's an AFR representative, they must have a calendar, and preferably one that you can access from your cell phone and from a computer, because God forbid you're out somewhere, and this has happened to me where my cell phone has died, you know, and I have to quickly turn on my tablet because I keep that charge to find out where I have to go, because I also put in my calendar, if I have an event, say I have an event with Ellen, I will put in the location, I will put Ellen's address. This way, when I open up my calendar, I can click on it, and it opens up into Waze, and it can direct me to where I need to go. So, you know, you definitely have to have a calendar. And so with that being said, you go to a paper calendar, and you look at all the holidays. You know, we know, well, there's nothing you can do about tomorrow, because tomorrow's Valentine's Day, unless you go to a barber shop and sell some perfume to some men who forgot tomorrow is Valentine's Day and they're in desperate mode. But, you know, next month is Women History Month. And April is Easter. I believe Easter is in April, and maybe in March, I'm not certain. But then you have Mother's Day in May. You know, you have 4th of July. You have, you know, all these holidays are coming up. And you don't have to wait till the last minute to say, oh, my God, what can I do? You know, one of the things you can do, and Ellen, you're very good at this, is you can look in your local papers, and Ellen can maybe help us with that, and look and see what vending opportunities are coming up for the year. Because some people have certain events that come up annually. Ellen, do you have any suggestions of where to look for vending opportunities?
Well, you know, I always tell people, you know, a lot of times people are scattered and they're trying to do all these different events, and usually money. You should find the events that actually work for you and stick to those events, because generally speaking, most of them are going to be yearly events. So once you get an event that you like, then make sure that you stay in that event so people know to come and find you. The other thing is you can, I know in North Carolina, which I thought was very interesting, there was this vendor list that everybody that's doing an event comes on and posts they're looking for vendors. And I found out about it because I saw a flyer. I went to vote for the first time down here, and I saw a flyer at the community center and said they were having this fair. So I went to the fair, walked around, spoke to some people, and that person connected me with a group, and I became a member of the group, all this information. But then going to some other events, I go just to check it out first to see whether or not I think it would be a good event. And then I found out about other places where they post. So I don't know if there are probably other states that do this. I know that all the people in North Carolina post a bunch of stuff, so you could be busy. One girl told me she's busy from now until December. She's already got her stuff, she's already got her applications in and her fees in for the shows that she's getting ready to do. So there are a lot of different ways just to speak to other vendors and find out where they're going, what shows they like, which ones they should stay away from, and that's how you learn about shows.
Very good. Thank you so much for Ellen. And another place you can also look in this area is the Penny Saver or Penny Pincher, whatever it is in your community. A lot of times they will list, or any kind of local paper, they will list up-and-coming vending opportunities. And, you know, again, you know, and we've said this before on the show, you know, we do sell Avon, and our price points are not high. So I would not do I barely do a show that's over $50. You know, if it's $50, I usually split that with someone, split the booth space, so it's $25, $25. And don't be afraid to negotiate with the organizer. I've talked to many organizers and say, I can't pay $80 for a booth. I sell Avon. My product is like a dollar and change. you know, listening and working for you. And a lot of times they understand and they know Avon products and they have reduced the price. So
yeah,
now,
and
you know,
this,
so you,
No, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, good. Mm-hmm.
No, just to add to that, the other thing too is research the shows that you're doing. I would be somewhat leery of shows that it's the first time they're doing it, unless you know the organizer and you know they know how to put together a good show. Because I don't care if it's $25, $30, $50, nobody really likes to lose money. I just recently, I'm new in this area, I just recently did a show that was like an hour from me, hour and 15 minutes.
Hmm.
And I did it because I just wanted to get out and kind of meet people. And this show, there was the first time they were doing it, which was my first clue. And then I was like, okay, well, she seems like she's kind of got it together. And then I started thinking to myself and said, I don't know, but I'm going anyway. So I go to show. They had, 15, 20 vendors, nice vendors. Not one person came in the door that wasn't a vendor. Not one.
Oh, wow. That's so disappointing.
Yeah, and it was not cheap, but I wasn't that upset because I had a funny feeling that was going to happen because I usually don't do first-time shows. I just don't do that.
Yeah.
And the other thing was I could see by the various posts that I said, wait a minute, I don't think she really has a handle on how this goes. So I'm just saying to you, research, probably stay away from first-time shows. Usually what I do is I go see it the first time to see what kind of crowd they have, see how it's laid out, the place. And it'll save you a lot of money in the long run because, you know, if you do
Absolutely.
A few good shows and bad shows, it washes itself out and you're in the minus, and you don't want that to happen. Whether you're recruiting or whether you're selling products or you're doing a combination of both, you know, you want to come out on the plus side.
And I have to say, you know, two things. I did a show this past weekend, and it was horrible. I mean, literally made no. I didn't make any money. But you know what? You take lemons and you make lemonade. And so what I did, I concentrated on getting my books out. You know, so I think I gave out like 60 books to people. So hopefully, you know, I will get orders and those people will turn into long-term customers. So that's one thing you can do. And then the other thing you can do, you know, sometimes you can do a show forever and it just falls apart. Like Ellen and I, we've been at this Co-op City. They have two outdoor fairs in the summertime and they have an indoor fair in November. And, you know, it's an okay show. You can make some money. You can make contacts. But I think what happened to that community, one, the organizer doesn't do a great job marketing. But number two, I think the demographics of that community has changed so much so that last year they do a show in May for Mother's Day, and then they do another show in another section in August. And I can't remember if it was the May show or the August show, but they had to cancel the show because the vendors were tired of not making any money, so they couldn't get any vendors.
Ooh.
And their goal was always 80 vendors, and they couldn't reach their goal, so they had to cancel the show. But yeah, so sometimes a show will go sour on you, you know. So sometimes even with the research. You know, it still can go south. So,
by the way,
the nature of the game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's another good thing to remember, too. When you're doing a show, or either you're researching because you're going and kind of looking at what's going on, or you're actually at the show, find out how many people are repeat people. If a person has
Absolutely.
Been, or an organizer, doing a show for years, 4 years, 3 years, whatever, and every year you see new vendors, there's a reason for that. Generally
absolutely.
Come back every single year. And when you go around and you start talking to people, I did another show, and the people, it was always a very good show. And the person decided they were going to change up their strategy. and they started charging money, and they got in this really fancy place. And again, nobody showed up because nobody wanted to pay the ticket price. So you're right. Sometimes things can be, and then, you know, then they're not good anymore. So, you know, you you want to pick a few that are relatively inexpensive. I would not suggest. I don't do it myself. Rarely do I do shows that are over $50. And
no way.
Because you have to remember, you're going to have to at least double that to make your money back.
To make your money back, absolutely.
You don't want to just be there to make your money back. And you also, if you don't have a really good program in place to follow up with people and you're diligent about following up with people, because generally speaking, sale is not made until that person might have seen your email or been on your website or something maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. So, you know, you have to constantly follow up. So if you're going to just go and just collect names and you don't have a good follow-up system, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to turn into customers. So
Okay, so now that you have your calendar in front of you, you know which holidays are coming up, you know you've gotten your vendor contracts in, so you know what shows you're going to do. Now you have to prepare for these shows. And I want to give you an example. I do a show the night before Christmas. It's a very good show for me. I do very, very well. So what I start to do, I start preparing for that show in August. August, I start, every time I place an order, you know, Avon comes up with the little bungles where you get the senses, you get the shower gel, the bubble bath, and the lotion, and it may be $9.99. I will buy one of those and put it to the side. And every time those things come, I'll buy it and put it to the side until December, because I'm preparing for that December show. And then I would say maybe around November-ish, I'm the dollar store queen. They start putting out the Christmas bags and the Christmas baskets. I start buying them then, because if you wait until December, there's nowhere to be found. You can always return them. I buy a bunch of them and bring them home, keep the receipt, and then them to the side. And so with the shows that you know that are coming up, you know, don't wait until 2 weeks or the week of to start buying your Avon products or, you know, start making baskets. Do it a couple of campaigns or months ahead of time, so that you can get things at a better price, and also you're not so stressed in terms of, you know, laying out money. If you do piecemeal, like I said before, I buy maybe one or two things per campaign from August to December. It's not as stressful. I may spend the same money in the long run, but I'm not spending that same type of money all at once. So it makes it less painful. Wouldn't you agree, Ellen?
Yes, it's very important to do that in advance. And you know, after a while, you'll just get into a rhythm of doing it. In the beginning, it seems like a lot. But I know that, and I think you had mentioned this on this show and previous shows, that, you know, even your mailing, your sign-up sheets and all that stuff, should have a place where you keep all that stuff. So when you're ready to go, pretty much, sometimes you have to have duplicates of things, and I know for some people in the beginning that's a little hard, but if you have duplicates, you have it already packed up, and pretty much you're ready to walk out the door with your suitcase. And so, and then, of course, you put a few things in, but for the most part, you got your pins, you got everything you need, you have a whole list of what you need to bring to these shows, so you don't have to worry about forgetting anything, and hopefully it's already packed, so you don't have to unpack, repack, and then you just much simpler.
It's much, much simpler, and I know that Dylan and yourself and as well as I, we discovered that having an overnight or maybe the next size luggage is where we kind of keep all of our products, and it's easier to transport and store when you put everything in the luggage, a regular luggage bag.
Mm-hmm.
What else I'm gonna say? So this is that's my suggestion to everybody. Oh, and then Ellen said the follow up is really key in terms of the, you know, again, the follow up could mean many things to you. It could be getting a recruit. It may be getting a new customer. It may be, just like Ellen said, it may be opening you up to another vending opportunity. So, you know, you really should be prepared to have your sign-up sheets ready. And on your sign-up sheet, you could ask the person's name, their phone number, their email address, and make sure you can read it after they write it. And then also you want to know their interests. Are they interested in Avon? Are they interested in opportunity? Whatever. And then you want to enter these people when you get back immediately into your email database. Because one of the things I do, and I know Ellen does it as well, if I know I'm going to be at Ashley Stewart, for example, in March, then what I would do at the beginning of March, I send an email blast out, and in there on that calendar tells people where I am going to be on that given day. And sometimes when you're a vendor, sometimes some vendors, if they're really organizer of a vending event, sometimes they'll give you your assigned table ahead of time, and you could actually put that information in. I'm going to be at Central Park, booth number 444. You know, so people know where to look for you. So just because the show is failing because the organizer didn't do their part, you know, you can do your part by having your customers who live in that area or who may be in that area come to your booth space and look for you. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's really important. And so many people don't do that or they just don't make the time to do that, because you really should do it. What you really should do is send out the notice maybe a week ahead of time, and then send a reminder notice to your list. And then, you know, with my list, I know that I have a space so I can write down where the names came from. So, for instance, you know, if you're doing a lot of different shows, you're like, okay, where did I meet these people? So you know exactly which show this particular
Absolutely.
Name came from. You use something like Constant Contact or one of these other MailChimp or one of these other programs, you can tag your list. So if you want to, for instance, if you do a particular show in a particular area and you have customers that you know are in that area, you might want to make sure that you send, maybe you'll send it to your list, but maybe you'll take that particular portion of your list and maybe you'll have a little special offer for them if they come.
Mm-hmm.
So
excellent.
Coming organized will really, really help you in the long run. And after a while, you'll have it on autopilot, and you go, okay.
Right.
And if you know, Pat and I use Constant Contact, you can set this thing up, have it ready to go, and you can schedule it months out, so you don't have to even remember, okay, did I send it? Do I have to send it? You know that you wanted to go a week out before the event. Let's say the event's not until Memorial Day. You set it up so that it'll be sent out the week and then a reminder set out. So that's when you really start rolling and you have your stuff on autopilot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when we have these snow days, that's a perfect day because you can't do anything anyway. You can't go anywhere. So why not get on the computer and schedule? Look at your schedule. Look at your holiday schedule. Look where you're going to be and schedule those things out. And like Ellen said, the other thing you can do also, and we forgot to mention this, as you plan your holiday calendar, you know, I have certain customers who orders gift baskets for members of her church for Christmas. So, you know, I shop during the year specifically for that particular person. You know, so if you have customers that you buy gift baskets, you pretty much know what it is that they're looking for. If you have a customer you know is always going to buy perfume or cologne as a gift basket, then you know what? Start looking. You know, right now they're doing Easter in the Easter books. You know, shortly after that will be the Mother's Day book, and we're nowhere near Mother's Day, but this may be the time to buy those the perfumes, because the perfumes are going to go on, those sets are going to be on sale. So, you know, you buy those sets specifically for that particular person who you know is going to buy Christmas baskets in December. So you may buy a perfume set for $10, you know, which will include the perfume, the deodorant, and the cream for $10, or maybe the lotion and the shower gel for maybe $15. But you could charge that person $30 in December, because, and then you make a $15 profit off of that item, because by the time December comes up, the perfume by itself is going to cost $20. And they can see that in the book. So you can make double or even triple your money if you plan again your holiday calendar and your customers' buying habits. So let's see. And you could always make up gift certificates also, and always have those handy as well. You know, every show you go to, maybe have gift certificates, or you can even make loyalty cards if you like, for your customers who buy a certain amount of products, and you give them a certain amount of gifts. And also, let me mention one more other thing. I give all my good customers a little basket. I know Ellen does the same thing, a gift basket for holidays, Mother's Day, and Christmas. As soon as you see, like, lip balms for 49 cents, buy it. Buy those things and put them to the side, because those will make nice little add-ons to put into your gift basket. You see a perfume that may be being discontinued for $5. You know, buy a couple of them, because it's going to cost you, $2.50 or somewhere it's going to cost you. Buy them and then put them to the side, and now you have your little Mother's Day gift for your customers, and you have your Christmas Day gift for your customers, and you have your little Father's Day gift for your customers. Ellen, you want? Because I know you're good at buying gifts for your customers.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I make things up ahead of time, and then I have it ready. Or if I see boxes on sale, when I put together baskets, I'll buy them when I see them on sale, holding them for when I want to put together something. So yeah, I do all this stuff ahead of time, and it's best to do that. Do it that way, because you'll save yourself a lot of time and money, and you won't be scrambling trying to do things at the last minute.
Absolutely, and worst comes to worst, you know, if you have these items in your house already, you know, I've had times when I have put things to the side, and I will get a customer who absolutely needs that product. Well, you know what? Then I have to sell.
Yep.
Because you know what, I've already placed my order last week. I can't place another order until next week. They need it this week because they're going away on Saturday. You know, so I just have to pull that item. So it's always good to have that type of thing on hand. Or I've had people who call me up and say, you know, I need a gift for somebody. Okay, you can throw a gift basket together, right? And like I was saying, pre-make them.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's so much you can do as long as you plan and become organized. If you plan your year calendar, you won't become frustrated. You won't become overwhelmed because you have a system in place. You have your act together. You have things already laid out. You know, it's better to plan if you don't plan, you plan to fail. You know, you really need to just organize yourself and plan your whole calendar for the whole year of 2017. And when 2018 comes around, you do the same thing for next year as well.
Yep.
And I also want to say one more thing. I also order my books accordingly. I order 300 books. But you know, your campaign books last you for 3 months. I mean, 3 campaigns. So I order my books. I order 300 or more, depending on what I'm doing, in the summer months. And I order a little less during the winter months. So you can also plan your brochures. So I think I'm done. Ellen, you have anything else you really want to add?
No, I think we pretty much covered quite a bit.
Yeah, we did. Mm-hmm. We really did. So with that, well, I guess we'll let everybody know that, you know, we'll see you next week. And next week I think we may have Clarabelle on. We're still talking about it, and the subject matter will be a boss life. I don't know if everybody really understands that concept, you know, as recruiting and, you know, and how your new recruits are going to benefit from, you know, becoming an Avon rep and the fast starter. So that I'm excited, and I hope that you are too. And, oh, I just want to make mention also, I want to thank, I've gotten some great responses from last week's show on the brushes. So thank you for that. I really appreciate the feedback. And then I want to take this opportunity to wish Ellen a happy birthday. Her birthday was yesterday. Yay.
Yeah.
And and Gielan, I don't know what happened to Gielan, but Gielan's birthday is next week. So she's the other part of the round table. So I want to wish her a happy birthday as well. So everyone, you have until... Actually, you have until tomorrow, because Wednesday, people in my area, the system updates. So you have until tomorrow to place your Avon order if you have not done so already. And just continue to make it happen. And you know, order with a purpose and start working on your calendar today. Good night, everyone. Good night, Ellen. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.